How great is it when someone you adore introduces you as one of their favorite people? And how much do we need that as women? Like, one of the things I was telling my friend the other day, kind of the season that you guys are in right now, and I know we've got moms of young kids and toddlers, and then we've got moms of school-age kids, but what I miss about the toddler phase is you're around each other all the time, and so you're watching, like, each other parent and correct. And I miss the being right there going, you just did that so well. You know, because now we're all in, like, my kids are in school. We're kind of like ships passing in the night. And if you correct, it's more like, wait until we get home. You know, so you don't really see, like, wonder how that went. But I'm so excited to be here with you guys tonight at a Nest and Woven event. This is so beautiful. It is so fun to see. Y'all, this is what the Nest would look like every single once a month Friday if we could, right? And so we've got constraints on, you know, training ground and space and stuff, but we just want you to know you are so welcome here and you're so valued here. And so I want to start off my time by just asking a question. There's people in life who are probably wired more towards the side of confidence, and then there's people who are wired more towards the side of, we're going to say, timidity, okay? So if you're more of the like, bah, here I am, raise your hand. Are you more of the like, bah, we need the bath? Jordy, you for sure are. Okay, if you're the more like, man, Wallflower and me, we get along just fine, raise your hand. If you're somewhere in the middle, you're like, I can be both, don't put me in a corner. Yeah. So I want to tell you all about my attitude when I was growing up. I had a ton of issues, but confidence wasn't one of them, okay? And I'm seeing that now as I raise one of my children who the night before a test, this child is like, got it, no problem, didn't even bring home the review. And I'm like, okay. And then the words 60-something happen on the test, and you're like, okay, so we need to talk about how our feelings are real but not reliable. Just because she's built confident. And I tell her, I'm like, you are going to use that for God's glory in a way. No, you are not a pushover. No one's going to tell you boo. But that's how I grew up, was just kind of like, there were a lot of things about me that were kind of a hot mess. But I was just like, happy to be me. And my dad said I was beautiful, and I believed him. And I thought I was going to either grow up and be on Broadway or like run a $100 million real estate portfolio. Those were the two things that I thought that I was going to do. And then what happened is I accidentally fell in love at a really young age. And I was like, oh, shoot, this guy, and you're going to see him, is absolutely gorgeous. And I call him, and we've got kids together, but like I saw him, and I was like, shoot, we got to get married. And so we got married at a young age, and what ended up happening is when I started to live with that man, all of this insecurity started to bubble up in my soul. And so now, what I used to think was like a really great way to interact with God, my quiet time, I'm more of a feeler. And so I will do inductive Bible studies. I will enjoy digging into commentaries, but it takes a little bit for me. I'm more wired to like, give me a good Carrie Job song and I will just like stretch to worship the Lord and like play my guitar and just meditate. And then my husband was like up every morning, 5 o'clock, inductive, memorizing scriptures, so stinking disciplined. And so throughout our first year of marriage, I started to what I would call just like kind of fall in on myself a little bit, to where everything that I had in the way that I was wired, I considered bad and unholy and not good enough and undisciplined. And everything that he had, I considered amazing. And it took a lot of time to move out of that. The way we would do our quiet times was different. Y'all, I was so, this is ugly. I share too much on stage sometimes, but this is a trusted room. I was so prideful and yet insecure that when we would go on runs together, we were training for a half marathon for my sister-in-law to get engaged. And when I was running, I'd be running by him, and in my head was just like, you're slowing him down, you're slowing him down, you're slowing him down. So I would just go, why don't you just, like, seriously, please, just go ahead and move on up ahead, and it'll be fine. Then when he would move on up ahead, I would actually hit my comfortable pace and slowly make my way back up to him. Like, I just was insecure. And there was nothing that I could do that would make me feel like I brought just as much to the table as him. And I'm a little concerned that that's what we're doing in our lives, because there is a million ways to Sunday that is hitting us as women who want to follow Christ, that is challenging us and making us question what our identity is. And that's what happened to me in the first year of marriage. I was questioning, who am I? And I think some of us can come into a room tonight really excited and really relaxed, and then we walk in. I watched a couple of y'all walk in. It's like, oh, there's a lot of people in here, you know? And then you were like, I'm going to do it. Hi, you know? And so that question of who am I, and thinking that in this room, it's probably a bunch of gorgeous believers in Jesus Christ. Who am I? And God, what would you have me do? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about our identity. And if there's nothing else that you leave from tonight with, what I want you to leave is knowing that your identity is God's alone to define. Your identity is God's alone to define, and it is defined with his love. And so this is going to be super simple, because I'm a KISS girl. I'm a keep it simple, stupid girl. So what I'm going to take you through is just three ways of making sure you can anchor your identity in the Lord. And it's going to be something that you've probably heard before. We're going to talk about how to know who you are, like who you are, and be who you are. And we're going to visit a couple of scriptures along the way. Y'all ready to dive in? Say yes. Do it louder. You're on a mom's night out. Say yes. Much better. Okay, first one, know who you are. There's two facets of this that I see when we need to know who we are. We need to know two things about ourselves. One, you were made in the image of the Almighty God. You were made in the image of God. And that's something that we say a lot. We hear words, especially up here. I've got some friends who love that, to just say, you are the Imago Dei, which is just Latin for image of God. So you are the Imago Dei, but when you think about what that means, you have something within you that was meant and purposed from the beginning of the world. So Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And then again in Colossians 3:10, you and have put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So we say the image of God, there is something inside of you. And then when I say you, I don't mean the person at your table that you're comparing yourself with tonight. I mean you. God has put something inside of you that is different than every other animal on the planet. You have a soul. You have a concept of good versus evil. You operate off of more than just your intuition, your instinct, and your impulses. You have reason. You have thought, and that is beautiful. One of my favorite painters, I love the Renaissance era, and Michelangelo is probably every non-artist lover's like favorite painter, so they can just say, oh, love Michelangelo. But I do, and so have any of y'all ever been to the Sistine Chapel and visited there? So there's this picture in the Sistine Chapel, and it's the touch of God, so it's where the Godhead figure and Adam, their fingers are almost touching. And it's this incredibly moving moment. But I look at that, that's not Bible truth, right? But I look at that and it's such a great picture of God going, what is in me in its human form, I am putting into you. And so, well, how different would your day be if you woke up every morning and said, Imago Dei, in me? Ooh, I just got chills in my own body saying that right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, how different would our day be if we started our day saying, I am made in the image of God? Secondly, how different would our day be if we actually went to move and live like we were made in the image of God? A quick search on Spotify. I don't know if y'all have ever done this. I don't know why you would, but there's over 30 songs that are called Who Am I? The title of the song, Who Am I? There's over 30 songs on Spotify. There are so many people in this world who are searching to find who they are. And I think we all struggle with identity at different points in our lives. I have a sixth grader. Y'all, watching sixth graders interact is so much fun. I know it makes some people nauseous. I love it because I'm watching my daughter begin to have a perception that was here and now it's moving out to here, and she's looking at her peers to help define who she is. And so to watch them tell stories to each other, they kind of revert back to the toddler age. You know, when toddlers, they're interacting, but they're not conversing. You know what I mean? It's like, pickle, pinto, my mama, no, mine, you know? And sixth grade is almost like a retrograde back into that. It's like, I'm telling this story of like, oh my God, I was laughing. And it was like so weird. It was so funny. Do you know what I was doing the other day? I was like, it's like kind of this like one-upmanship, and you're just watching like there's a ping pong match, but no one's hitting it back and forth to each other. It's just like, woo. And so I'm watching my kids try to find identity in who they are. And I'm watching, then even again in high school, when you start to find who your friends are or your first love, this doesn't count as that, but there was this boy named Adam in eighth grade, and we met one time and we exchanged numbers, and we would call each other and our phone calls would consist of this: I just love you. I just love you. And we never saw each other again. It was like one of those like camp things. But you know, in that moment, you're feeling so much. And then my identity started to become a part of who Adam was, you know, Adam Gomez. He was fine. I remember that. Like, but my identity was wrapped up in this boy. And so I think you graduate college, and we see this a lot with our residents who come to Watermark. They graduate from college, and for the first time in their lives in 18 years, there's not a really clear next step to take. And so all of a sudden, that's super disorienting for someone to kind of go, who actually am I? And to start to learn that your identity is in can be in Christ and Christ alone, and it's God's alone to define. Your identity is God's alone to define, and that can be kind of disorienting for people. I think about a couple more things. You know, we live now in the Christian world, in the world of the seen. So a couple of friends and I started a ministry here for women called The Collective, and when we were talking about what it might look like, we were able already to see so many different YouTube videos of other churches and other women's ministries that already did it really well. And so there was a couple times in our insecurity when we're trying to figure out who are we going to be as a ministry, what is our identity, that we just kind of were like, should we even do this? There's already so many people who are doing this. But that's the world of the seen. And so if we live too much in the world of the seen, then our identity starts to become, well, that already exists, so if I'm similar to that, then God must not need me. Do you see where the lies start to come in? Also, in the world of the scene of being a mom. You know, you think about being a mom. Did y'all know, how many times have y'all had, you do disposable diapers? They just go straight into the landfills? Okay. Do you know how long it takes for a chemical detergent to get into your baby's bloodstream? About 60 seconds. You feed your baby red dye, you want to give him cancer? I mean, there's so many things. Y'all probably aren't that mean, but there's so many things that happen. Or if you're on the other side and then you add, I'm a working mom into that, y'all literally on a girl who works, who is a friend of mine, has been told by someone here in this building, I just cannot believe you do that. I cannot imagine letting a stranger raise my kid. So y'all, we say things that then in turn make us feel, what is my identity? Is it okay? Is my identity a mom? Is my identity a stay-at-home mom? Is my identity a mom who works? Is my identity? I'm going to tell you right now, it's none of those things. Your identity is none of those things. Your identity is God's alone to define, and it's defined with love. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So, you were made in God's image. Say Imago Dei. Just gotta make sure y'all are still with me. It's late, you've had candy. Imago Dei, say it again. Good, so you're made in his image. You were also made really uniquely. Psalm 139 is a scripture that we talk a lot about and maybe even we toss around quite a bit. But let's just read it along with me. For you formed my inward parts, this starts in verse 13. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So many times, I think, when we see ourselves, we see our weaknesses in light of other people's strengths. So we measure ourselves up against a really unrealistic expectation. So going back to the story with Ryan and I, the more we spent time together as a husband and wife, and the more settled I became in learning who I was, we hit this point at one time where I sat him down and I go, Ryan, do you know one of the reasons why we're awesome together? And he was like, what? I was like, it's because you're awesome. And he's like, okay, thank you. And then I go, do you want to know one of the other reasons why we're awesome? And he's like, what? I was like, because I'm awesome. And it was such a huge revelation to me of like, oh, I play a part in making this union beautiful. And you play a part with the Holy Spirit in making the union of your dance with God really, really beautiful because you're unique. And so Ryan, who is a processor, he's detailed, he never misses anything. Really annoying. I am a visionary. I'm 30,000 feet in the air. I'm like, what is our banner over the life of our family? And he's like, I'm like, what's it going to be? Who are we going to be in 30 years? And he's like, but did you read your Bible today? Like, we work together, you know? It's just such a beautiful union. And so now I feel like I can come to a place where I'm like, my identity and who I am in Christ, not in my awesomeness, who I am in Jesus is firm. And so I can fully give myself as a compliment to my husband in this relationship. And in this room, in a room like this, I even know so many of y'all. There's dreamers, there's creatives, there's people who bleed practicality and details. There's people who are shepherds. There's people who other people, and too many of them, make you need to go spend an hour or two by yourself. Like, there are so many different kinds of beautiful people in this room. And one of my charges for y'all tonight is, could we just make a habit of Chrissy Billman style celebrating the crap out of each other? Like, could we just make a habit where when I see you and I'm introducing you to a friend of mine, I'm like, this is my friend Laura. She's one of the best facilitators of the Word of God that I've ever seen. That, and it's not puffing. It's saying, I see you for who God's made you to be. You are made in His image and you are unique. And so let's know who we are. Small caveat to knowing who you are is also to know who you're not. Right? And so us spending time trying to be who we're not is going to pull us off course. And so one other challenge might be, some of you all just might need to say no to the things that you're saying yes to that are pulling you out of getting to just be who you are. So if something sounds fun, but it's outside of your giftedness, it's not that it's wrong to stretch yourself, but I think if it's keeping you from being who you are and knowing who you are, then that might be something to glaze past in this season, especially in this season. So a couple questions just from this section would just be, how do you feel about friends who are different than you? Do you run to celebration or comparison? And if you fall on one side, I just want to tell you tonight, don't leave tonight without telling one of your friends what you love about her. What a great night to do that. Just say, hey, if I haven't ever told you, like, your eyes are beautiful. My mom complimented women strangers all the time. And it was so weird. I mean, she would just stop a woman and just be like, you are gorgeous. And even though it was weird when I was growing up, guess who does it now? I do it. Because I tell my girls, I'm like, never miss an opportunity to tell another woman the beautiful thing that she is. And so I think if we know who we are, we can do that. And then once you actually know who you are, you can truly, honestly, without a shame, like who you are. That's my second charge to you tonight, to knowing that your identity is the Lord's to define, is to like who you are. And so I am going to do something really fun. Jill Scoville, will you come up here real quick? Don't get mad. Just come. Come on. She doesn't know I'm going to do this. So while she's coming up, I'm going to tell you, okay, my name's Callie Nixon. I love that I'm pretty funny. I really like that though the winds have changed in my athleticism, I can still revert back to the high school aged me and hit a tennis ball. I like that that athleticism can help me coach my daughter's fourth grade basketball team. I like that I know the things I'm good at and I know the things I'm not. And rather than be sad at what I'm not good at, I go and find the people who are good at what I'm not good at and we do it together. Those are some of the things that I like about me. Come here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of... this is one of my... you getting more than you thought you bargained for tonight, honey. y'all, this is one of my dearest friends in the whole world. Will you please welcome to the stage Jill Scovel? So, Jill.
Yes.
She's so embarrassed right now. This is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Do you know that liking who you are is not pride? It's appreciating a creation?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to tell these beautiful women a couple of things that you like about yourself.
Okay. I like that I can pretend to be confident. No. Whew, this is really hard.
It's good.
This is hard. I like that I am a good friend. Mm-hmm. I like that I like laughing with girls and that I prefer women's nights sometimes even over family night. so it's really fun to be here. I still like that I can play sports. Mm-hmm. I like to paint, and I like my paintings.
Y'all, give her a hand.
That's hard to do.
I'm so mean. That's really hard to do, and she's my friend, so I can put her on the spot. It is really hard to sit there and say what you like about yourself. Now, Melissa McKee and Jen Coates, come up here real quick. Don't get mad, just come up here. Look at y'all, you're just clapping for people walking, come on. Who is more encouraging than women? Okay, now we're gonna do the experiment again. And, So, this is my sister-in-law, Melissa McKee, that hot man that I was talking about earlier, just her brother. And then this is Jen Coates, a dear friend of mine. So what I want you to do now is, Mel, I want you to tell these beautiful women everything you love about Jen Coates.
Oh, that's so easy. This is one of my closest friends, Jen. You are, we may cry.
Just two, three. Nope, more.
Okay, you are incredibly loyal. You are servant-hearted with the people that matter, which is your husband, your arrows and your friends. You're also very, very fun, and most type A people lack fun. And you are organized, but you're also so fun. And you also go to prayer before you go to your own opinion. And you just sharpen me. We're both eights. I don't know if there are any Enneagrams.
I'm a one.
Wing eight.
I'm a one.
Okay, there's some eight in her. But there's not a lot of people that can challenge me, and you do that. And so I'm really grateful.
Okay, I'll give them a hand. Great job. So just from watching in the audience, how much easier was it to tell a friend who she is and what you see in her than it was to look at the mirror and tell yourself who you are and what you see in you? And there's just a little side note in that sometimes in order to see ourselves as God sees us, we need to hear it through the lens and the eyes of someone else. And that's okay. But once we do, we get to a place where we can genuinely be settled in who we are, not because necessarily of all the things that other people can like about us or that we like about us, but we actually believe God when he allowed words to be written, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So you know who you are, You like who you are. And as you like who you are and you appreciate the creation God made, now you can begin to run in who he made you to be. And it's so smooth and it's so beautiful. And I think about the truth that we find in Psalm 16. And it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So once I know who I am, I like who I am, when I can be who I am, it's out of that place of the beloved. It is out of that place, that early morning time that not everybody will ever know exactly what yours looks like because it's just you and the Lord's, but that in that presence is the fullness of joy. And from that fullness of joy, you now begin to overflow the love that you have for others just out of the fullness of your own heart. You're not pulling off of empty, and you know for certain that your identity is wired in a God who loves you because your identity is God's alone to define, and it's defined with his love. And I think there's something so beautiful when you start to really watch people be who they are. So again, when we were starting the collective, I said to y'all, I'm a wide lens, 30,000 foot visionary, and I had a lot of ideas, and I wanted to start them like right now. And so then the problem with the ideas is you actually have to get people to do them. And I'm like, by then I'm like, I'm on to the next idea. And so we went to an IF conference, an IF gathering, and there's a gal named Amy Bay who was like, just had a clipboard in her hand and a radio in her ear, and she was just doing the things. You know what I mean? Like execution at its finest. And so I began to pray because like we said, know who you are and who you're not. I knew that I was not going to be the executor. And I began to pray for an Amy Bay. And God brought someone who is now one of my dearest friends in the world named Summer Powell to come. And she literally sat and looked at me one morning and was like, I think I want to be your Amy Bay. Oh, that makes me want to cry. She is, you know, just that's the thing where we just have to get rid of comparison, because the beauty of watching, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, where God has made us gifted and lovely and beautiful, and the eye doesn't look at the ear and say, I have no need of you. You know, the hand doesn't look at the foot and say, I have no need of you. The hand looks at the foot and says, I see you. I respect what you're doing, and you have purpose here. Did you know if you don't have your big toe, your sense of balance decreases by like 80%? If you're the big toe, God bless you. If you're the, you know, how beautiful too would it be if we walk out of this room tonight and we say, you know what? I am a kneecap and I'm a really good one. I'm a really, really good one. Or you say, you know what? I'm the eye. I have discernment. I can see things that other people don't see. And so when some people are barging ahead towards the fire, I'm the one who can tell them, take the fire extinguisher because it's going to get hot. That is beautiful. It is so beautiful. And that's how God has wired you. And so just have a charge in this area too, that if you're someone who loves to stay snuggled in at home, don't overpack your schedule to keep up with the raging extroverts. You don't have to do it. You know, that trip to the Arboretum that everyone's going on, you can say no. And you know what? You don't even have to have a reason. And you can just say, thank you so much. We're going to pass today. That's all you have to say. If you are a working mom, don't sign up to be a room mom. You're a working mom. Let somebody else be the room mom. Don't try to be both. That's too much. Be who you are. If you're a mom who has got gifts of leadership and strategy and you don't like glitter, don't keep it in your house. It's been 10 years. I don't put no darn glitter in my house. You want to go play glitter? You go to your grandma's. She loves glitter. And conversely, if you love crafts and drawing and every moment soaking up with your kid, do it. Be who you are. If you want to serve in your gifts, man, go the extra mile at this church or wherever your church home is to find out where you can serve in your giftedness. Now, I say that, small caveat. There's a real reality that we need people to change diapers, and we need people to watch babies, and we need people to pick up Watermark Newses after a service. So don't let that keep you from serving. Don't be like, I've got to find the perfect thing. But once you know who you are, you like who you are, you can have the confidence to go and be who you are. You can have the confidence to walk in your job and say, I think I'm worth this. And this is the salary that I would like to start at. You know, if you walk into a service organization, you can say, yeah, I'm a mom of little kids right now, but I used to run this at my college. I think I can do that. You can be who you are, and when you're being who you are, it's beautiful. The last thing I'm going to say is, what is the thief of joy? Comparison is the thief of joy. And I think one of our dangers here tonight is we could leave kind of looking and being like, she probably knows who she is. She probably likes who she is. I don't know if I know who I am. So I just want to encourage you. A lot of people will talk about comparison and say, don't compare. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to tell you, hey, you're going to compare. You're going to compare yourself with other people. It is natural. It's in our nature. And so you're going to compare yourself with someone who has the same gifts as you, but maybe they're utilizing them on a broader platform than you are. And so you're going to compare thinking, are my gifts not as good as hers? Or why is she using it in a desirable way when I'm here still wiping butts? Like, this isn't fair. You're going to crave the gifts that someone else has. I do that all the time. Kim Duncan's in here, and I've asked her just to be like my best friend and life planner like 3 times. She keeps saying no. But it's because she's gifted in all these ways that I crave. Like, I crave her discipline. I crave her early morning rising, her exercise routine. But I can't compare myself to her because that's going to steal my joy, right? You can't watch a mom correct her kid or lead a mom's group and be praised for it and get jealous because it's going to discourage you. If you have, man, this is a big one. If you have a tough baby, I had to get off Instagram for months because this girl and I had a baby at the same time, and she would have window pictures of a baby cooing and being like, we're cooing. And I was like, what's a coo? My baby cried. Literally, my baby cried so hard she sweat. And my pediatrician was like, babies can't sweat. And I was like, this baby sweats. And I was like, praise God that she sweats because she's getting rid of that heat some way, right? Because she was crying all day long. I can't compare myself to somebody else. You may have to remove yourself from a situation to remind yourself, my identity is in Jesus. My identity is not in how good I am as a mom, what it is that I can give to the community. And I think of this poem that Maya Angelou wrote, and it's one of my very favorites, and it's called The Human Family. And it says, I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious, some thrive on comedy. Some declare their lives are lived as true profundity, and others claim they really live the real reality. The variety of our skin tones can confuse, bemuse, delight. Brown and pink and beige and purple, tan and blue and white. I've sailed upon the 7 seas and stopped in every land. I've seen the wonders of the world, not yet one common man. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In the minor ways we differ, but in the major we're the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. Yes, we are more alike, my friends, than we were unalike. You're more alike than you know with the women around you. We have struggles, we have sorrows, we have grief, we have pain, we have rejoicing, we have joy, we have ecstasy. We have all of those things. And so if you find yourself in a season where you're like, I don't even recognize myself anymore, this is a good place for you to come. The mentor moms are here to counsel you through tough seasons. Your leaders are here to counsel you through questions in a minute when we go through our discussion time. This is a really safe place to go, Callie, nice talk. I'm not there yet. That's okay. It really, really is. But I want you to know that you were made for a purpose. You were made and redeemed to show others God's kingdom. Whether you're a working mom, you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a content creator, part-time marketing director, mama so-and-so, ultimately that's not who you are. Because out of that place of the beloved with an identity firmly rooted in Christ, you are an evangelist for the kingdom of God. while you still have breath in your lungs, there is one thing that you can do here that you can't do in heaven, and it's tell other people about Jesus. You are an evangelist for the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And you can't do that if you're tied up in comparison. So tonight, my prayer for you beautiful women would just be that you would know who you are, you would like who you are, and you would be who you are. Because you know that your identity is God's alone to define, and it's defined with his great, great love for you. I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you all. We're going to have a little bit of time of discussion at your small tables. The last thing I was going to say is where I really see this, and just as kind of like a house update, is a few weeks ago, I stepped off staff here at Watermark. And while I'm so sad that that season for me specifically is ending, I'm so grateful for the 4 years that I've spent on this staff, and I'm so excited to see what God does next in the women that are here. And coming here tonight, I just have to tell you, I've never been more sure at the beauty and the gift that is God's women in the body of Watermark or wherever you serve in your church in Dallas. And so I'm grateful for you all. I'm going to pray for you all, and then let's go to our tables, okay? Father God, you are kind, you're good, and you care about us. And just as I look in the eyes of this room, I see your great pleasure over them. I see your love for them. I see the uniqueness with which you've built them. And I just pray, Father, that you in your grace and in your kindness would just show them that tonight. Father, as they go home tonight, just open up a journal and write a few kind things about themselves. Would you just show them that their identity can be firmly rooted in you, because they are who you say they are, and who you say they are is fearfully and wonderfully made and worthy of the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, who came and lived a perfect life and died in their stay so that they could have heaven. Be over their time in small groups tonight and over the rest of our time. We love you, God. Amen.